saying, you can be seated. If it's not well with your soul, you can fix that this morning before we get through. And I hope that you will. Take your Bible, if you will, this morning, the book of Acts. Acts chapter 1. I want to preach to you another in the series of great questions that are in the Bible. This is one question that every person ought to ask themselves. Every person ought to ask this question. And so we'll look at it this morning. Acts chapter 9. I think I said Acts chapter 1, didn't I? Well, I was kidding. I'm in Acts chapter 9, verse 1. Y'all are going to have to learn to interpret what I say, all right? Acts chapter 9, if you will. Acts chapter 9 in the Word of God. Look down in verse 1 there. The Bible said, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do." I don't know if you've ever been in that situation. Have you ever wondered and thought, well, if I just knew what God wanted me to do. If I just knew what he wanted me to do. Maybe you've been in that situation with other people. I don't know how many times I've told people, listen, maybe there was something that happened, maybe a tragedy, maybe a need, but I've said to them, listen, if there's anything I can do, let me know. Amen. If anything we can do as a church, let me know. All you have to do is let us know. Oftentimes I've said that to people on the death of somebody or something else takes place, and I've said to them, hey, if we can help you, let us know. I've told Brother Whitaker, as he's laboring in Idaho to start that church, Brother Whitaker, if there's anything we can do as a church, let us know. Let us know. And I meant what I said. I meant what I said when I told people, hey, if there's something I can do, let me know. I'd do it. If I could do it, I would. There's oftentimes I've said that, but I knew something I could do, so I did what I knew I could do. You know, I've had people going through maybe family in the hospital or something. I've taken my lawnmower, thrown it in the back of my truck, carried it over and mowed their yard, you know, and I've done that kind of thing before. I said, well, I knew it needed to be done. You just do it, okay? Now, I can't do that anymore because I don't have a truck. But I can figure a way to get a lawnmower there, I believe, if needed to be. Hey, you ever done that? But have you ever asked the Lord, what do you want me to do? What is it you want me to do? I believe if you had asked that question honestly with a real desire to find the answer and then a determination to follow that answer, I believe that question right there can change your life. If you just asked that question, what would you have me to do? A lot of times I think people ask it, but they don't mean it. They don't really mean it. But just as God told Saul of Tarsus, he said, you go into the city and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Well, this morning, I'm not going to tell you everything I know that God wants you to do, but I'm going to tell you three things I know beyond a shadow of a doubt he wants every one of you to do. Amen. Every one of you. There's three things. And if you'll just go to the Bible, he'll tell us what he wants us to do, all right? So we're going to look at three things. Hey, Lord, what would thou have me to do? Take your Bible to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. Here's the first thing I believe beyond a shadow of a doubt the Lord wants everybody to do. Everybody to do. He wants you, number one, to be saved. Amen. He wants you to be saved. You're there, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. Notice, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Hey, listen, I believe that's straight out. That's pretty plain, all right? Amen. He said he's not willing that any should perish. Right. Not one. Hey, that's the reason when Jesus Christ went to the cross, he did not die for a select few. Amen. He didn't do that. My Bible tells me in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the sufferings of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Every man. Listen, folks, I'll tell you, I believe with all my heart when Jesus Christ went to the cross, when he died on that cross, I believe he died for every human being.
Amen.
Every man. From the oldest to the youngest, from the darkest to the lightest, if you will. However you want to phrase it, I believe he died for every man. I believe that. When you get in a great stadium or you see a picture of a great stadium that is jam-packed with people, you'll know it was either before COVID or things finally calmed down, all right? But if you get to that situation, see that thing just packed out with thousands and thousands of people, you mark it down. Every person you're looking at, Jesus Christ died for them. He went to the cross. He tasted death, the Bible says, for every man. He's not willing that any should perish. You said, what does he want me to do? He wants you to get saved. He wants you to get saved. He wants you to get saved to this extent, all right? And I'm going to say it this way. If you die and go to hell, you will do it over the body and the shed blood of Jesus Christ. It'll not be, you'll not be able to say, well, hey, I'm telling you.
Right.
I'm telling you. The reason we support these missionaries and send them around the globe and do everything we can to get the gospel out is so that everybody get a chance to hear Jesus died for them.
Yes.
And I don't believe we can send any missionary to any part of this globe and they'll find any man that Jesus didn't die for.
Right.
So I believe he tasted death for every man. And he says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'll take it a little even further. If you die and go to hell, you're going somewhere you're not wanted.
Amen.
You're going somewhere that wasn't prepared for you. Because my Bible tells me in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 41, Jesus said, then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels.
Right.
It wasn't prepared for you. It wasn't prepared for any man. Hell was prepared for the devil. Hell was God's judgment on the devil for the rebellion he led against God.
Amen.
Prepared for him and his angel. Not for you.
No,
not for men. And by the way, you're not an angel, okay?
Yeah.
And hey, this is not the subject of the message. I don't care what mama says about you. I don't care what grandma says about you. You are not an angel, and you are not going to be an angel. You know, you die, well, I'm in heaven. You know, mama died, she's in heaven, she's an angel. No, she's not. She's not an angel. You're not an angel. The Lord Jesus Christ died for you, though.
Amen.
He died for you. If you die and go to hell, you're going someplace he never intended for you to be. The Bible said he's not willing for you to go. He's not willing that any should perish. Any. He wants you to be saved.
Amen.
Wants you to be saved. Hey, I mean truly born again. Beyond a shadow of a doubt, I believe the Bible tells us God wants you to be saved. If you're here this morning, if you're listening this morning through YouTube, God doesn't want you to die and go to hell.
Amen.
And that's the reason he sent his son to pay your price on the cross.
Right.
For you.
Right.
For you.
Right.
You understand that. He died for you. But now listen, if you're going to be saved, you've got to participate.
Right.
It's not just something he bestows on you.
Right.
It's something you have to come and ask him for.
Preach it.
Remember that verse I said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But you've got to call.
Right.
You've got to come to him. You've got to come to him. But if you'll do that, you'll call upon him and ask him to save your soul. I believe with all my heart he'll save you. Now, the reason I believe it's because of what this book says. Because because the Word of God says it. So, hey, what does he want me to do? He wants you to be saved. He wants you to be saved. But there's something else he wants, all right? I believe with all my heart he wants you to be separated.
Amen.
He wants you to be separated. After salvation, he wants you to be separate from sin. Now, you might ask, preacher, what do you mean to be separated from sin? I mean, we live in a world filled with sin. We live in a world that's just immersed in it, all right? You can't turn the television on. You can't hardly turn the television on and not hear something that you really shouldn't hear. You're at the workplace. You say, preacher, I can't turn it all off where I'm at, all right? Can't turn it all off where I'm at. I have to work in the midst of it. You say, what do you mean? He wants me to be separate from sin. Here's what I mean. He wants you to live like you're saved.
Amen.
He wants you to live like you're saved, not like the mass of folks that have never been born again.
Amen.
He wants you to live different, separate from that. Notice what the Bible says. Take your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, a very, very plain verse in the Bible. This is not a verse you read and think, well, I wish I knew what that meant. No, it's pretty plain, all right? 2 Corinthians chapter 6, all right? 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17. I told you 2 Corinthians, and I proceeded to turn to 1 Corinthians. But it is 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Look at verse 17. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Come out from among them and be ye separate and touch not the unclean thing. Folks, that makes it really pretty plain that all ought to be able to see it. What are we to do? We're to come out of that crowd. What crowd? The crowd that's lost. Why? Because I've been born again.
Right.
Been born again. I don't fit in that crowd anymore, okay?
Amen.
Don't fit in that crowd anymore. I'm to come out of them. I'm then not to touch the unclean thing. There's a lot of things the Bible tells us to have nothing to do with us, all right? We're to have nothing to do with a lot of the filth of this whole world. Hey, we're to have nothing to do with any of the filth of this whole world. We're to separate ourselves from it, to be different, all right? Why? Because I'm no longer part of it. No longer part of it. I can remember at points in time telling my kids, you can't live, you can't do that. Why not? Because you're a Mosley. And I expect you to live different than that. My dad used to tell me that. Said, you're to live different. Now, wait a minute. I wasn't saying you're better than anybody else. But I'm saying to you as a child of God, you're saved, you're born again, you're in the family of God. Bless God, live like it.
Amen.
Don't live like you're part of the devil's crowd, all right?
Amen.
Separate yourself from sin. Get away from it. The problem is, in our day, we've decided nothing is sin.
Right.
That sword of the Lord that I've told you need to pick up and read, there's some statistics in there that are mind-bogglingly devastating to me. Almost unbelievable. Of how many people in the world believe that casual sex is okay.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that. It's okay. Hey, and even more people believe it's okay if you're in a committed relationship, if you're dating.
Yeah.
If you're dating. Wait a minute. Where'd you get that idea?
Yeah.
The Bible calls that fornication.
Preach it, brother.
The Bible calls that immorality.
Preach it. Yes, sir.
The Bible does not put it as a but we live in a day where nobody thinks anything is sin. When I say come out from among them, touch not the unclean thing, I'm not talking about Oprah's definition of the unclean thing.
Amen.
Talking about the Word of God.
Amen.
Come out. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I knew we were going to be there eventually, and that's why I turned there a while ago. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, all right? Here's some illuminating detail for us, all right, about this. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you? Wait a minute, who's he talking to? He's talking to saved people. He's talking to people who have been born again. I told you the first thing God wants, he wants you to be saved. Then if you're saved, he wants you to be separated. And he says here, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Wait a minute. What about you got saved? Well, preacher, God saved my soul. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. But you know what? He's got a claim on your body, too.
Amen.
Got a claim on your body. Now, he didn't save that body. That body hasn't been regenerated.
No, sir.
It's not been redeemed. The Bible said we wait for the redemption of the body.
Amen.
Looking forward to that day. Be no more aches and pains, all right? Be no more that temptation of the flesh to sin. But as long as it's there, here's what God says to us. You need to remember you're saved. That means the Holy Spirit's in you. Your body's the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. Then you can't take your body and do whatever you jolly well please with it. You're to be separate from sin. Man, used to. You'd hear preachers preach against lighting one up. You don't hear much preaching against smoking anymore. Well, smoking's not as popular as used to be. Even the Surgeon General tells you not to do it.
That's right.
But you know what? Still much wrong. It's still as much sin for you to suck that into your body.
Amen.
Because that body belongs to God.
That's right. Amen.
By the way, vaping is just as bad for you, okay?
Yeah.
I mean, it'll do the same thing. People are dying from it. Boy, use your head, all right? Where'd you get the idea, you know, that your nose is a smokestack, all right? Man, God made you different than that. Hey, we're to guard this. We're to be separate from sin. Our body and our spirit ought to show that they belong to God.
Amen.
There ought to be that difference about us, to be separated from sin. Where we go, the things we do, the things we participate in.
Right.
We're to be separate from sin. Hey, we used to sing with teenagers, the things I used to do, I don't do them anymore.
Amen.
There's been a great change since I was born again.
Yes.
The things I used to say, I don't say them anymore. There's been a great change since I've been
Amen.
Born again.
Amen.
The places I used to go, man, the things I used to see, all that. Man, why? There's been a great change.
Yes.
Great change. Got born again.
Amen.
Got born again. God wants us to be separated from sin, all right? Your walk, your talk, your demeanor, your dress, your decisions, your words, your emotions, your actions, your reactions. All of them ought to be separated from this unbelieving world.
Amen.
Everything. Hey, we're not loved to what the world loves.
No, sir.
Remember, the Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world.
Right.
If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Man alive, separate yourself.
Yes.
Let people ought to look at you and see and know something different. Bible, and even, I'm not reading, going to all these verses, we'd be here. By the way, I could preach a sermon on all these points, but I'm not going to. All right, what does God want me to do? He wants you to be saved. He wants you to be separate. To this point, we're a peculiar people.
Right.
Amen. We're a peculiar people. We're not a peculiar people just because we show up in church. You're not here this morning as a believer because you didn't have anything else to do today.
No, right.
You're here because you made a conscious choice and you realize I need to be in the house of God.
Amen.
I need to be in the house of God.
Amen.
Why? Because you're saved.
Amen.
But that's not all. It's not just on Sunday that people ought to say, well, something different about them. They go somewhere every Sunday morning. Hey, we ought to say that every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night. Every night their soul went in. There ought to be something out there. People say, there's a difference.
Yep.
There's a difference. What's going on? Why? God's done something for me. But wait a minute. I can't spew out that profanity.
Come on.
I can't spew out that profanity.
Yes, sir. Come on.
And honor God.
Amen.
Can't do it. Can't do it. Listen, I know some of you here have got a problem with that.
Oh, yes.
I understand that. I'm not here to trample on you, but I am here to tell you, you need to straighten it up.
Amen.
You need to work on it. I've said it many times because I heard it somewhere else. God put three things to help you out with that tongue. He put lips that would come together. And if they're shut, you can't utter a word.
That's right.
He put teeth to clamp together. So your tongue can't get as loose as it might want to.
That's right.
And then he gave it a pool of spit to lay in to keep it cool, all right?
Amen.
Why? Boy, shut your mouth and you won't say something you shouldn't say.
Come on, preacher.
Yes, sir.
God help us to know he called us to be separate from this old world.
That's right.
That everything we do ought to point to the fact they're saved. They're saved. Our styles, our dress, it ought to be different. Or to be different. Everything in the world at today is pointed toward sensuality and sexuality.
Right.
All the styles, that's where they're at. Sensuality and sexuality.
Right.
Talking to a fellow this week, and I was talking to him about what he had tattooed on himself. And he said, well, I guess he did it because of style. I said, no, you didn't. Styles change. That's permanent, buddy.
That's right.
That ain't style.
No, sir. Not at all.
Hey, listen, what are we doing? Want to be, because, well, that's because all the great Christians I know, they're doing that. What?
Come on. Not a great preacher.
No. It's not all the great Christians. It's the world.
Right.
Come on.
The pagan, heathen, godless world we live in. And God's people are trying to be like them.
Right.
What am I saying? I'm saying, what does God want me to do? Be separate.
Amen.
Be separate. What would thou have me to do, Lord? Be saved. Be separate from this world. Third thing I want you to see. Take your Bible with me to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. Right after Hebrews, the book of James. James chapter 4. Would you look with me at verse 7? Verse 7. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded.
Yeah.
He said, what does God want me to do? He wants you to be surrendered to him. To be surrendered to him. That is, submit yourself to him. Draw nigh to him. Surrender your will. Surrender your ways. Surrender your wants to the God that's in heaven. To the God of this book. Surrender yourself to him. Say, I'm yours. I am yours. You can do with me whatever you want me to do. You can do whatever you want to do with me. I will do whatever you want me to do. I'll surrender to you.
Amen.
Now, there should have been a time in your life, if you haven't already, there should have been a time you would have done that. You came to God and said, here I am, I belong to you, you saved me. Lord, you can have me. Whatever you want, I'm yours.
Amen.
I'll do whatever you want me to do. Now, the problem is, some of you think, no, the only thing people do that do that is people called to preach. That's not true.
Amen.
God doesn't want all of you to be a preacher. In the sense of pastoring, stand behind a pulpit, proclaiming the word of God. He doesn't want that. He doesn't want all of you to be missionaries. But what he does want is he wants you to surrender yourself to him.
Amen.
Just surrender yourself to him. You say, well, could you go a little detail? All right, let's go to Proverbs chapter 23.
Yeah.
Proverbs chapter 23. You see, I believe this right here is the key to this business of surrendering yourself to him. Proverbs chapter 23, if you would, look down there, one verse, Proverbs 23, verse 26. Here's what the Bible says. My son, give me thine eyes. No, that's not what he asked for. My son, give me thine elbows. No, no. It's my son, give me thine heart. And let thine eyes observe my ways. God wants your heart. He wants your heart. Why? Because if he gets it, he's got you.
Right.
If he gets it, he's got you.
Amen.
You remember out there that time? Some of it's been long, long ago. But you saw her. She got into your eye.
Uh-oh.
And then maybe it wouldn't, maybe, you know, but that person got into your eye. Then they got into your head. You begin to think about them. And you couldn't think of anybody else. And then they got into your heart.
Amen.
You said, man, I done fallen in love. And hopefully, that's the person you're with, all right? You're sitting beside, you know. You're married to. That's it. They got there. Well, wait a minute. God wants your heart. God wants your heart.
Yes,
Why? Because if he's got it, he's got you.
Amen.
He's got you. I was teaching Sunday school this morning. We're talking about unity in the church and caring for people the way they should. And I made this statement. You know, I've gone a lot of places where I didn't want to go because the person I wanted to be with was there. I used to go to Garden Ridge Pottery. I never, ever went once in my life because I wanted to go to Garden Ridge Pottery. I said to my class this morning, thank God it closed. I'm sorry if that was where your career was, but you needed another one anyway. I hated Garden Ridge Pottery. There was nothing there that interested this man right here. He said, why'd you go? Because there was this woman that I truly loved being with. And I'd go because she was there. She was there. Why? She had my heart. She had my heart. Listen, if God has your heart, He has you. He wants more from you than an acknowledgement that He exists. If He gets your heart, He'll have your will. He'll have your ways. He'll have your wants. He'll have it all. Those things emanate from the heart of man. A lot of people talk about inviting Jesus into their heart, but they won't turn around and give that heart to Him. We say, Lord, I want to be saved. I want to go to heaven. But I don't want you really to have me while I'm here.
Right.
I just want you to take care of me when I die.
Yeah.
Well, He wants you while you're here.
Yes, sir.
So what does He want me to do? He wants you to surrender yourself completely to Him. To be surrendered is to exhibit the attitude of not my will, but thine be done.
Amen.
That's it. That's to be surrendered. Hey, I'll be honest with you. I'm really tired of people that have been taught the truth, acting like they can give God whatever they want, but never consider what He wants.
Right.
Never consider what does He want. What does He want? When you are buying a Christmas gift, I want some honesty here this morning. How many of you have gone to somebody and said, what would you like to have for Christmas? Let me see your hand. You've ever asked that question, what would you like to have for Christmas? Okay. The rest of you said, not me. I just bought them what I wanted them to have. I can remember buying my brother what I wanted.
Yes, sir.
Because I figured if he had it, I could fool with it some.
There you go. That's right.
How many of you have done that?
Yeah.
Hey, man, that's good, wise people, all right? Couldn't get what you wanted, but I had a chance to buy something. I'm going to buy you what I want, and I can enjoy it too.
Amen.
Now, most of the time, what I bought him, he enjoyed.
Oh, yeah.
But I could enjoy it too because what I wanted. Right?
Amen.
But I don't tell you, it ought not to work that way with God. Ought not to work that way with God. With God, it ought to be, Lord, what do you want?
Right.
What do you want?
Right.
What do you want out of my life? Hey, there's plenty. Never consider what he wants. That's the crowd that lives and acts like the Bible was written for everybody else but them.
Yeah.
But them. I got a cousin made the statement. He said, don't go to church. He said, but I still talk to God.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Still talk to God. I pray every day.
Yeah.
Well, pat yourself on the back.
Yeah.
Strap a halo on your head. Let me say something to you. You know what that is? You're just selfish as you can be. Because you want God to hear from you.
Exactly. Come on.
But you ain't really interested in hearing from Him.
Right.
Lord, I'll pray to you every day. I'll tell you what I want, but don't bother me.
Yeah. Amen.
Because I'm living my life the way I want to live it.
Right. Yes, sir.
This same cousin made the statement. He said, the only thing I miss about not going to church is the singing.
Yeah.
I go, so yeah, and it ain't the singing you need, buddy. See, I know him.
Amen.
I know how he lives. He needs the preaching.
Yes, sir.
He needs the Bible. But we live in a day where people come to God and say, Lord, I want you to save me.
Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
But then leave me alone until
right.
I
yeah.
die. Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, Lord, what would thou have me to do? What would thou have me to do? You know what? He wants you to be saved. He wants
Amen.
You to be saved
Amen.
Without a doubt. Now, so you'll be His. You'll belong to Him. Then he wants you to be separate because that'll make you fit for God to use you. Because he cannot use a dirty vessel.
That's
right. So he wants you to be separated so it makes you fit for him to use. And then he wants you to be surrendered because that makes you available.
Right.
That makes you available. Lord, here I am. Remember what Isaiah said? Isaiah saw the Lord.
Oh, yes.
He said, "Here am I, Lord, send me. Send me. I'm available. I'm available. I'll go. I'll go. Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do." All right? Hey, can I say this? I want you to be real sure. I want you to be sure you're saved. Do you know it this morning? You're here this morning. Are you sure you're saved? Are you sure, positive, 100%? 100%. I know I'm saved. I've done what God said to do.
Amen.
What the Bible says to do.
Amen.
Not what man says.
Nope.
But there was a time in my life when I personally called on the Lord Jesus Christ and asked him to save my soul. Some of you folks may be listening this morning, watching on YouTube. Are you sure of your salvation? Positive. I want you to be sure you're saved. Hey, be certain. Be certain then that you're separated from this old world. There is a distinction between you and the world out there. There's a distinction. And you ought to be settled in your surrender to him. I'm available to God. Lord, I've done it. Say, what does God want me to do? He wants you to be saved.
Right.
Yes.
He wants you to be separated.
Yes, sir.
He wants you to be surrendered. Now, if he wants more from you, if you'll do those three, he'll let you know.
Yes, sir.
He'll let you know what it is. He'll let you know beyond a shadow of a doubt. Hey, it wasn't until I had surrendered myself. I went forward in the service as a teenager and said, "Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'll do whatever you want me to do." It was after that that he called me to preach. But I'd already surrendered to it. Lord, here I am. I'm available. I'm available. Lord, if you want me to go to California and pastor a church, you're going to have to write it in the clouds, all right? It's going to have to be real plain. And I'll tell you what, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. How about you? Are you saved? Sure of it? You're separated from this old world? Is there a distinction between you? I mean, the people know it and people see it, not just because you've told them, but people you don't know, they'll look at it and say something different. Have you surrendered to God? Does God know you're absolutely available to him for whatever he wants? Or are you holding back on him? Say, "I want you on my terms." What about you this morning? Would you stand, please, with every head bowed and every eye closed this morning? Listen, what about you? What about your life? What does God want you to do? I know he wants you to be saved. I know he wants you to be separated. And I know he wants you to surrender to him. Have you done those things? If not, what do you need to take care of today? What do you need to take care of today? Hey, that's what the invitation's for. That's what the invitation's for, is to give you a chance to do what God wants you to do. Heavenly Father, I pray now you'd deal with hearts this morning. Help us to see our need. Help us to understand, see, and be honest about what you want us to do. Lord, would you bring conviction in hearts? And Lord, may your will be done in the invitation this morning. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We sing this morning the invitation hymn, "Just As I Am Without One Plea," would you come to him? Hey, if you need to speak to me, if you're not saved, would you just have the courage to step out, come down the aisle, meet me and say, "Preacher, I want to trust Christ as my Savior." Would you do that? Christian, you're here. Hey, you're not living a separated life. Your life is just like the lost. The only difference between you and them, you go to church. You're separated from this old world. Hey, are you surrendered to him? Are you available? Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'm yours. I'll give you everything. You come while we sing this morning. Come on.